This will be a bit of a different episode of the On Fry podcast. On Fry brought to you by NBC7. I'm Darnay Tripp, usually joined by Derek Togerson. But, you know, these scheduling snafus, they happen from time to time during the holidays. And we had one of them today. So Derek unable to be with me, and that's all right. Flying solo on this episode. We'll see how it goes. Appreciate you being with me, and hopefully you hang around for a bit of this one. We're going to be talking Padres wish list. Padres holiday wish list. And I did some crowdsourcing, got some good ideas from the Twitter sphere, from Instagram, and I'll share some of my own as well. So figured, again, things are a bit slow these days in Major League Baseball. And given that there isn't a whole lot happening right now, and of course, the occasion seems like a natural thing to do, to talk about some things that we hope to get, whether it's for Major League Baseball or, for the most part, specific to the Padres going into the 2022 season. We did have an episode earlier this week on Monday with Bob Melvin, AJ Preller, announcing the full Padres coaching staff, guys that we'd obviously heard of, but rounded out the entire crew. So that episode came out Monday. We shared some of what Bob Melvin had to say, if you want to hear from him, and then hear what Derek and I had to say just about the crew and the impact those guys could have on the 2022 Padres. That episode came out Monday, so be sure to check that out. But we'll be talking Christmas. We'll be talking about holiday wishes for this Padres team going forward. Okay, first things first, though, want to show our love to the sponsor of the On Fire podcast. It is, of course, OGs. Check out your sport of choice at OGs. They got a ton of televisions. Well, it's the NFL. It is, of course, bull season. NBA, NHL is on hiatus. I mean, tough times right now with COVID, unfortunately. College basketball, whatever you want to see, they got it at OGs. They also got 10 craft beers on tap brewed here in Southern California. They've been around for over three decades, and they're celebrating their 30th anniversary all year. A bunch of new menu items as well, and some award-winning beer. McGarvey's Scottish Ale won another beer award this year. They took home a bronze medal in the bitter and Scottish ale category at the San Diego International Beer Competition. This is McGarvey's eighth award that it has received. Appreciate all OGs does for On Fire and the NBC7 sports team. All right, let's get into it. So I got a few things on my list, mostly specific to the team. To the roster and to their performance and this and that. One kind of an extraneous Padres-related thing that I think might be cool. And there will be some others on the list that we got from fans. And we'll start with, I know Derek, when I texted him the idea initially, he just wants a new commissioner. He wants somebody to replace Rob Manfred. And so, again, just to kind of get us out of this mess that we're in right now, and a steady hand that will get everybody on board and avoid any bad PR and this lockout dragging on any longer than it needs to. So I can't say I disagree with that item, the solo item on his list. For me, I'll start with one of the guys that we heard Bob Melvin rave about on Monday, and that is their new pitching coach, Ruben Niebla. First wish on my list is that Ruben Niebla would indeed be the pitcher whisperer for the Padres. We've heard glowing reviews about what he did with Cleveland. Obviously, he was in an organization that had a ton of success with starting pitching. And I went with Niebla because when I started thinking, I mean, there's like a dozen pitchers you could come up with an idea for. Yu Darvish, like a healthy lower back hip combo. Blake Snell, you know, the Blake Snell that we saw late in the season is the Blake Snell that we get all year. Chris Paddock returns to 2019 rookie season form. And we did see some glimpses last year. Fastball looked better. Curveball got more confident in it. Used it more effectively. There's a number, Denelson Lamet, that he'd stay healthy. And Mackenzie Gore. Mackenzie Gore might be tops on the list when you think about starting pitchers and things we would like to see for this team that would obviously lend itself to a more successful season. Obviously, Gore becoming the top pitching prospect again that he was before the last couple years would greatly benefit this club. And so I'll just put it all under the umbrella of Ruben Niebla, pitcher whisper, because obviously that was an area of a lot of difficulty in 2021 for a number of reasons, whether it was just guys' struggles, Paddock and Snell, or injuries. What we saw with you late in the season, Denelson the Met, guys like Adrian Morahone going out. And I know I'm not the only person thinking of pitching with this list. We'll get to some more of that later. But if Niebla can really, there's only so much you can do from a health standpoint, I guess, but help these guys perform to the level of their capabilities, to the level of their potential, would go a long way for the Padres. Number two on my list, and I guess these aren't really in any particular order, but number two, a wince-free season. And I think you all know what I'm getting at. The biggest downer, perhaps, of a year that was full of them was just the health of Fernando Tatis Jr. and the uncertainty that presented. And starting in spring training, just with the shocking sight of him walking off the field and then the gut punch of him just crumpling to the ground after that swing in early April, and then missing time at various points of the season, you know, after that slide, a wince-free year would be just chef's kiss. Tatis, we obviously know about the talent. We know what he does for this team to a degree. As he goes, they go. He's kind of the pulse of this club and obviously the most exciting player in baseball. And a full, healthy season would, man, that'd be great to see. And it would also be just be great to, without the fits and stops that he had during the year. And what was so incredible is, like, every time he came back, it's like he didn't miss a beat. Kid's a freak. If he misses any time, you can almost guarantee he's going to homer his first game back. That's what he does. But it'd be nice to go without those, you know, 2-week, 3-week hiatuses here and there. I guess they weren't necessarily always that long, but it felt like it. He said as recently as a couple weeks ago that the shoulder feels 100%. Obviously avoided surgery. We'll see. I think it's going to be a source of concern going forward. It just is until we see him stay on the field for long stretches without any issues. Hopefully he can get back to being as aggressive on the base paths as he was early in the season. That's one of the areas where they kind of reined him in, keep him out of the outfield, keep him at shortstop, keep him healthy. No winces in 2022. That would be wonderful. None of us want to go back into that cycle that we went through this year where even though he was able to play 130 games, and part of the time he missed was due to that COVID pause, it wasn't all because of the shoulder, but the shoulder is just kind of a cloud that followed him around this season and made for a weird year and made for some awkwardness. And hopefully whatever work is being done on that shoulder is enough to keep the winces away in 2022. All right, next on my list, I might just be coming to grips with the idea that Eric Hosmer isn't going anywhere. And Eric Hosmer's name will come up later on this pod. But maybe it's worth this guy who, you know, came, we've talked a lot about the contract, that came here with huge expectations, very accomplished from his time in KC, winning a World Series, 4 Gold Gloves, some all-star and all-star appearance. We've talked so much about Bob Melvin being the type of manager that can bring out the potential max potential of his players. And he did that in Oakland, a place that didn't spend a whole lot of money, and they were consistently a playoff caliber type team. Maybe it's worth giving Bob Melvin a season with Eric Hosmer. And that's not to say I don't think AJ Preller's shopping him around, but who knows if they're going to have any success at this point. It is just hard to say given the circumstances we're in, and who knows when this thing gets buttoned up and how close we are to spring training and all that. That could have an impact on how difficult or easy it is to maneuver. Maybe we get into the season with him, and if things still aren't at the level that Preller and company want them to be, maybe when we get to the deadline again, we hear those rumors swirling. But maybe Bob Melvin can bring something out of him. And look, when Hosmer's at KC, here's numbers in KC compared to San Diego. Hit .284, .781 OPS, average 18 homers, 81 RBIs, 102 strikeouts. In San Diego, .264, .738, down from .781, 15 homers, 67 RBIs, down from 18 and 81, 108 Ks. So, obviously, offensive numbers have taken a step back. It hasn't been, you know, super dramatic. But obviously not at the level that, you know, they were probably expecting or hoping for when they signed him to that big deal. And I think, you know, offense is one thing, but that obviously doesn't tell the whole story. He has not been a Gold Glove caliber. He won a Silver Slugger in 2017, his last year before coming to the Padres, at .318, .882. OPS, 25 homers, 94 RBIs. I mean, great to get that kind of season out of a guy. I mean, with the Padres this year, you know, it's Tatis, Machado, and Cronenworth, and a huge drop-off. And that's obviously not what was expected of Eric Hosmer. You expect him to be kind of in that mix just based on what he had done in previous seasons. And I think there was some hope for that coming off the 2020 year, but that wasn't the case. But again, that's just part of the story. It's what he does defensively. And when the expectation is a Gold Glove first baseman, that's not what you're getting. And it was a bit of an adventure, I think it's fair to say, in 2021, some puzzling moments. Hopefully Bob Melvin, his new crew, in all facets of the game, can get him closer to that player we expected to see, or he was expected to be when he got to San Diego. So maybe Melvin can work his magic. That's what we expect him to do with players throughout the roster. Maybe that'll have to apply to Eric Hosmer as well. I won't spend too much time on this one because, you know, there will be ideas along these lines from some of the folks that chimed in. But a corner outfielder that puts fear in the heart of whoever's on the mound. Tommy Pham wasn't doing that this year. Certainly not from a power perspective. Had a couple stretches where he hit the ball well. And Will Myers, he might still have that reputation as a guy that you don't want to be careless, you know, when you're facing. But again, his numbers, not what you'd want them to be. A guy that hit 30 homers in 2017, 28 the year before, a 17 this year after hitting 15 in 55 games last year. It's 17 in 146. That was one of the issues with this team. Very little slug, very little pop. Again, outside of those top three guys. And Myers is always going to be one of the guys that you look to and that you hope that can provide that. Having a guy that just strikes fear, that whenever he steps the plate, you feel like, okay, you kind of perk up a little bit. Like something could happen here. He's always a threat. And there will be some suggestions, some ideas that come up from, again, folks that passed along their wish list. So we'll save it for that. But that's just something that was missing this year and that this team would benefit from. And a little extra protection for those top guys and something to kind of buoy an offense that that had some struggles in 2021 and in that department. Kind of along those lines, although Trent Grisham, I mean, he's a different type of player. You wouldn't necessarily look to Trent Grisham for that. He can help you in a lot of ways offensively. But how about the pre-heel bruise version of Trent Grisham year-round? Two seasons with the Padres. He's done some good things for the club. Obviously a Gold Glover in 2020, his first season. But offensively, left a decent amount to be desired at points in that year. And this year just got off to an incredible start and provided that extra guy in the lineup, provided that protection, gives you an option in that leadoff spot. And with him being a lefty as well, just some flexibility within that lineup. Before the heel bruise, hitting .301, .383 on base, .898 OPS. After the heel bruise, which cost him a few weeks, .218, .304, .675. Just a different player. And in a lineup that needs guys that can get on base, obviously what he does on the base paths, his ability to steal. Sometimes there are some questionable decisions in there, but that does a lot for your lineup. It gives you that flexibility. You can move Fernando Tatis Jr. around. We'll see what Bob Melvin does with him. You know, you can kind of stick him anywhere, we've seen, and he rakes. But to have a guy like Trent Grisham that you can put up at the top of the order or to kind of give you a little life, you know, lower in the lineup, he does some good things for you. You know he's going to play well in center field. You know, hopefully he can kind of recapture that Gold Glove form from 2020, but he does some good things for you. Just need more consistency at the plate. And I like the idea of Trent Grisham as kind of the center fielder of the future. I know when Starling Marte was out there, you know, that's a guy that would have been an option there. Robert Hassel could be him long-term. We'll see. But I like Trent. I like kind of his attitude and some of his moxie. And again, he's had some stretches where he just delivers at the plate. He gives you exactly what you need. He's never going to hit, I think, a ton of homers. What did he hit? 15 this year, drove in 62 runs in 462 at-bats. It give you a little bit of that, but a guy that can get on base and make things happen once he does and just provide you a little bit of flexibility because he's hitting from the left side of the plate and he's got some speed and he has shown at points the ability to get on base consistently, and that's that would be a huge benefit to the team if he could do that on a more regular basis and not have those months where it kind of tails off a little bit. My one non kind of like true baseball thing is, and I don't know, I've thought about this. We've seen baseball get a little bit more creative with the uniforms. They kind of had like the city edition this year. Some of them were cool. Yeah, there's always some that are better than others. Padres didn't do that, which makes sense. Second year wearing brown. Everybody loves the brown. All of them, you know, all the combinations look great. So no real reason to kind of dip into those waters. But I don't know. I'm a uniform guy. This stuff always interests me. I love throwbacks. And again, doing so the first couple years of the new brown uniforms might not have made sense. But as time goes by, maybe just throw something out there just to get folks excited that you wear once during a series, what have you. And you would, I mean, it'd benefit the Padres. You'd sell a ton of jerseys if you did it. Now, what throwback? It's too soon to wear anything blue, right? So I figure that's scratched. The obvious one that comes to mind from that standpoint is kind of the mid-90s, the blue and orange that, you know, I think a lot of people envision when you think of Tony Gwynn or Trevor Hoffman. I think you got to go earlier than that. I think you got to go pre-blue. You can't bring the blue back, you know, after they go back to brown a couple years ago. I think they were in a good zone in the 80s when they incorporated that orange and they moved away from the gold. As much as I like the gold, this is just a temporary thing. This is a throwback thing. Might be something kind of fun. Either the real kind of OG looking brown and orange, or when they went to the pinstripes that kind of evolved into what we saw with those blue uniforms, the brown pinstripe with the orange lettering that we saw, I think, in the late 80s to early 90s. Those were sharp. Huge fan of those. And I think, yeah, that orange, just looking up pictures again, that orange pops. So I think that's a way to stay true to the brown, but just a little flash of something different. If they were to do kind of a throwback or a city edition or what have you, just a brief break from the gold. Again, just a temporary thing, but I've always loved the look of that. Because you're so used to seeing the brown and gold together, and it looks great. But the brown and orange, big fan of those. So those are my wishes. I don't know. Let me know what you think. Maybe none of them are good. Maybe some of them are useful. Maybe you stopped listening a long, long time ago. And if so, that's all right. Again, just wanted to give you something to listen to before the holidays, before a bit of a break here. Yeah, maybe you just need to go on a walk at some point during Christmas weekend. You spend a lot of time around family, just need a break. Get around the neighborhood, get your steps in, listen to an episode of the On Fire podcast with me rambling on about holiday wishes. Who knows? But appreciate you hanging around if you're still listening at this point. Okay, let's share some of the ideas that I got from you, the listener, which I always appreciate. The very first one, I mean, this is so on brand. Very first one is watching Myers and Haas exit the building would be delightful. And, I mean, what can you say? It kind of is what it is. That's what you expect. I think fans like Will Myers for the most part. Eric Hosmer's catching a lot of heat these days, fairly or not. I think Myers is pretty well endeared himself to the fan base, but makes a lot of money, and level of production hasn't necessarily always matched that. Was awesome in 2020, and it was great to see him kind of look and feel revitalized. But hey, maybe Bob Melvin can work his magic with Myers just like he did with Eric Hosmer. Trev wants starters that average more than 5 innings. What a novel concept. And so I was looking into this just out of curiosity, like how many teams did get, on average, 5 or more innings out of their starters? The answer is 18. Padres were obviously not one of them. They got 4.57 innings per start out of their starters, placed them 29th out of 30 teams. But this is what I thought was interesting. Of those 18 teams that do average more than 5 innings each time out, you know who's number one? The Oakland Athletics, managed by Bob Melvin. Now, it helps that they also had the 9th best staff ERA amongst their starters. So this is a group that threw the ball well. But it made me wonder, like, is there a philosophical thing as well? Because we were used to kind of seeing that quick hook from Jace Tingler and a lot, you know, if it's a situational thing, if a guy gets on with, you know, 2 outs in a close game, you know, he erred on the side of giving the offense a chance to score some runs and pulling his starter. Didn't always work. So that's one thing I'm kind of curious about. Like, is that, and something I would like to ask Bob Melvin about, or people that have covered Bob Melvin, been around him. What's that? Is that part of his MO? You know, what's his style from that standpoint? Is he a guy that tries to milk them for all they're worth, you know, and get as much out of them? Whereas Jace Tingler seemed to You know, be content leaving a little bit on the bone. But yeah, that jumped out at me. Oakland had the, now I want to go back. I see, now I'm kind of curious, like year to year, was that just how it went last year? But Oakland's starters threw the most pitches in, or threw the most pitches, pitched the most innings in Major League Baseball last year. Let's go to 2020. Let's do this exercise together. 2020, innings pitched. Now, obviously a shorter year, so maybe that factors into it. Oakland is seventh. Okay, so still, you know, towards the top of baseball, top third in baseball. Their staff ERA. Was not as good. So 16th. So, okay. Pitching staff didn't perform quite as well. Did take a step back in terms of innings pitched, but was still up there towards the top of the league. Let's go back to 2019, previous full season. Oakland 9th. Okay. Look like a staff ERA. 8th. All right, so pretty consistent there. So seeing a bit of a trend. Oh, let's just go. What am I messing around here with? Let's go 2011 to 2021. I'm really testing. If you are still listening, this exercise is really, really testing your loyalty to the On Fryer podcast. So we're doing 2011 to 2021. And innings pitched, that's a nearly 10,000. That is a massive, massive amount of innings. Oakland is 10th, and their staff ERA to that point was the 7th best in the league. So who knows? Maybe it's something. Maybe it's not. Maybe there's a correlation. Who knows? Kind of spitballing here, but that caught my eye. Maybe Melvin, whether it's his MO or just ability to kind of foster an environment that helps these guys succeed, whatever the reason is, his starters have delivered innings, and that's something that this team needed in a bad way. All right, how about a full healthy season for the team? Is that cheating? I feel like they have as much talent as any of the top teams. They just need to stay healthy. Nobody's going to argue that health wasn't an issue for the Padres. I think as the season went on, you know, it became a little bit more clear that wasn't just, you know, that wasn't the only issue, that the problems went deeper than that. But certainly part of that. And no, it's not cheating. It's your holiday wish list. You can put whatever you want on it. But I think, again, going back to Tatis, a wins-free season, not just for him, but for everybody. I asked that there'd be no World Series wishes. I mean, that's the one rule because that's too easy. But one person said, that parade in downtown that everyone is always talking about. How about just like reliving the scene outside Petco Park? Now, part of that was out of necessity. Because we couldn't be inside there. But reliving that scene outside Petco Park in the East Village, that was phenomenal. One of the highlights of a difficult last couple years, I think, for myself and for many others. A healthy starting five for a whole season, again, along those lines. Yeah, no arguments there. Let's keep everybody's UCLs intact, no forearm tightness, inflammation, any of that, no hip back issues. Let's just keep everybody in a cryogenic chamber. Is that the right word? Is that what they're called? What else? I think we had a couple more from Twitter. Mark's just looking forward to listening to the On Fire podcast. We appreciate you, Mark. I just saw one that caught my eye that I hadn't seen before that was Ron Fowler related. which I love. Ron Fowler Twitter explosion. Yes. Yes. Yeah, sign me up for that. Host another, what was it? Social, whatever he did, where the heads are rolling line came about. Yeah, let's get Ron Fowler. It's amazing that we haven't heard from Ron. It's too bad. I mean, he's probably feels like it's best for himself and Seidler and all parties to keep his opinions to himself, but what's the fun of that? Let's go to Instagram. Instagram, as we continue the Padres wish list episode. Got a number of submissions. Another on Hosmers. All right. Hosmer trade, Tommy Pham comeback season, Kyle Schwarber signing. There we go. There's the outfielder. There's the corner outfielder with pop, Kyle Schwarber. I think there's a lot of people that would put Kyle on their list, especially after the season that he had. 266, 32 bombs, driven 71 runs, 928 OPS. I feel like Schwarber's been around for a long time. Only 28 years old. He's like 8 months older than Jake Cronenworth, which I wouldn't have necessarily expected. But obviously coming off a massive season and a guy that, you know, in the postseason just kind of seems to have a knack. What'd he do? Hit 313 in the ALDS, 333 in the wild card this year. Obviously know what he did with the Cubs. But a guy with that experience and just the threat that he would put in the lineup. Because, like, again, does anybody else give you that feeling remotely? You know, Will Myers in 2020 had some of that. Like, not to that level, but hit for more power than he had in previous seasons, which led to all the trade chatter. But, I mean, not since, like, the home run duel of Franmil Reyes and Hunter Renfroe the first half of 2019. That was fun. I'd take a guy like that. I mean, it would have benefited from the presence of one of those types of guys, even if you say what you want about the on base and strikeouts and this and that and, you know, some of the defensive lapses. Look, there's value to all those things, but a guy that just is a threat to hit a bomb every single time he gets to the plate. I don't know. Look kind of nice in a Padres uniform. So, yeah, Kyle Schwarber. He would certainly scratch that itch. So, I think Schwarber's a great call. How about Will? Will's always bringing the goods. Twitter, Instagram. Seiya Suzuki or Kyle Schwarber. Seiya's another interesting one. I feel like there hasn't been too much chatter. Maybe I've missed it. I've seen teams that have expressed interest in Seiya coming over from Japan, but I don't know if I've seen much chatter with the Padres, and who knows why that might be. It looks like, what was it? Ha-Sung Kim fetched 32 over 4 years, 8 a year. Looks like Suzuki is more in kind of like the 10 to 12 range. So who knows how much the money has to do with it, or just it with this team kind of in a win now mode. Now it seems like the learning curve for Suzuki might not be quite as steep as it was for Ha-Sung Kim. Maybe he's a bit more, but that's, you know, that's anytime a player comes in from a different league, there's going to be that concern. I mean, even coming from AAA, there's going to be that concern about just how they adapt to that level, how they get comfortable playing at the major league level, facing major league velocity and stuff. And what the transition is like from that standpoint. So we'll see. We'll see who he lands with. We'll see how interested the Padres are. Again, it doesn't seem like there's been, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, a whole lot of chatter kind of connecting the two sides. But, you know, not only does he hit for power, he got on base, you know, a ton of walks, good OBP last year, and So there's a reason why he's highly thought of, and there's a lot of teams that are interested. But to this point, it hasn't seemed like, you know, the Padres are necessarily the front runners from that standpoint. Will also said, and I don't know how I feel about this. I did say this is going to be a shorter podcast, and here we are pushing 40 minutes. Wow. Is anybody still listening? Will said brown and gold seats at Petco. Now, I've seen the mock-ups on Twitter. I got to say, I don't know. I don't know if I'm with it. I like the idea of it. Functionally, though, the look. I think the brown looks, or the blue looks pretty good. I get it. Blue is not the official color of the franchise anymore, nor should it be. But for the stadium's purposes, Petco just looks so darn good on its own, too. I don't know if you need to, like, go with something that stands out quite that much when you've got the views, the skyline, beautiful weather. I think the blue seats might just be fine, Will. I'm sorry. That's just my personal opinion. I know other people have expressed that idea. But I'm not sold on the brown and gold. But send me a mock-up. Send me another look of it. Maybe it'll change my mind. Ryan wants to clear up space and money, parentheses, first base. Get a power bat in the outfield and Freeman. I don't think... when did the... I can't remember where... Yeah, so Freeman's still very much out there, and we'll see what kind of resolution there is between he and the Braves. Iconic, you know, chapter of his Atlanta career, bringing them a World Series, which is awesome. And yeah, that would answer that question at first base, but that one I said, look, it's the holiday season, so I don't want to, you know, kill anybody's dreams. But that one might be one of the more far-fetched of the wishes I've seen. But what a great fit he would seemingly be on this roster and obviously address an area of need. Those are the ones. That's the wish list. Thanks for hanging on through this. If you did, if not, hey, no hard feelings. I get it. But wanted to give you a little something before Christmas weekend rolls around. And again, doing some crowdsourcing, getting some ideas back. It's always fun. You can always shout us out on Twitter. Again, at DarnayTrip. I always get Derek's, Derek NBCSD on Twitter. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know where we get it terribly wrong. It's always a fun part of the process, and we are always thankful and appreciative of you. Wish you nothing but the very best this holiday season to you and yours. Have a wonderful Christmas weekend, an awesome new year. I don't think you'll hear from me again. This was just my desperate opportunity to have my voice out there for you know, another week or two, because I'm out of town next week. And Derek has some time off as well. Again, hence him not being with us today. So you might not hear from us before the new year. Again, another reason I wanted to get something in your feed. But we will be with you after the new year and, get you caught up in all things Padres, whatever's going on. I don't suspect there will be any movement by the time we chat again on the MLB lockout front, but hopefully that's when the wheels will start turning again. You'll hear about people having conversations and either side kind of, you know, trying to get what they want to get and putting forth their demands and their counters and, you know, as these things go. But not a surprise that things would be quiet this month after the lockout, but hopefully in January things will get rolling again, and we'll have real baseball things to talk about. Again, if you didn't catch the Monday episode, just far and away the more useful, relevant of the two episodes we put out this week, you can check it out, breaking down the Padres coaching staff, hearing from Bob Melvin, fun conversation there with Derek. Good one last week as well with Bernie Wilson. Always a blast to talk with Bernie. Get his unfiltered thoughts on the Padres and catch up with us. Sports Wrap 11:35, NBC7, Football Night in San Diego, winding down the regular season. It's been a really, really fun year. So that's after Sunday Night Football every Sunday. All things San Diego sports on the Sports Wrap page at NBC7.com. Hey, thanks for listening. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Catch you again soon.